you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 101. Psalms 101, beginning in verse 1. You know, can I just get real tonight?
Yes.
Not that I don't try to get real every time, but there's times we can put on the Christian front. Hello? We can be real good and real spiritual to those we're around and when we're around them, but when we get to the house, sometimes we play the devil's advocate. Hello? I appreciate our church being able to get real, and not many churches allow testimony services anymore, but I'm glad for testimony, I'm glad for worship, I'm glad the Holy Ghost still moves. But I just want to get real with you tonight, because David, in Psalms chapter 101, he got really real with the circumstances of his life. Almost every commentary, if not every one of them, acknowledges that this Psalms 101 was contributed to David and where he was. And it perhaps shows that he is taking the throne, and as he is taking the throne, he is recommitting and dedicating his life as a perfect model. Somebody say perfect model. According to which the wise prince should regulate his conduct and his government, not only on his throne, but also in his home. This ought to get some shouts tonight. We ought to be able to shout about this. David said, and I'm not going to ask you to stand right now because I'm going to go through this whole chapter. Aren't you glad it's not a chapter 150? We'll go through this chapter verse by verse. David is telling how he has committed to live, and how he believes the Bible is relevant to us. No matter when David wrote it, it's relevant to us today. David said, "I will sing of the mercy and the judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing." David is thanking God for both his mercy and for the judgments that he distributes and he gives out. To the wicked, he would make the conduct of God the model of his own. To the blessings, he would make that the conduct of God to his own. David sang of the mercy and the judgment of God. He said, "I will sing praises unto thee." Remember, and if I have my history right, David is taking the throne in Israel, and he is reestablishing some things on the throne, but most important of all, he's reestablishing some things in his life. David has had a messy life, and he's reestablishing some things in his life, and he said, "I will sing of the judgment, of the mercy and the judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing." God, I am ready and I'm thankful for the mercies of God that you've given to me, but I am also ready to receive the judgment if I deserve it. I'm ready to receive that judgment because, God, I want to walk with you. You remember when David wrote that God, to renew a right spirit within him, to make him what he needed to be, and David was crying out to that. In verse 2, he said, "I will behave myself in a perfect way." I wonder how many times that we need to repeat that scripture when we are at a restaurant somewhere and we're not getting the service that we deserve. I wonder sometimes if we're behaving ourselves in a wisely and in a perfect way. If we're at one of the grocery stores or Walmart and we can't find what we needed because they moved it 10 miles across the store. Am I getting down to the nitty gritty? I wonder if we're behaving ourselves wisely and perfect when we're going down the road and everybody but us is driving like idiots. I wonder if we're behaving ourselves wisely when we get home and we've had a bad day at work and we take it out on our spouse, our kids, and anybody that dares try to call us on the phone. I need to readjust my glasses and make sure you guys hadn't left me. David said, I will behave. Are we supposed to conduct ourselves through the Word of God? It's the Word of God that brings us to a place and a position to where God desires us for be. It's His Word that is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. It's His Word that we must pattern our life together and pattern our life by to be the child of God that He wants us to be. He said, I will behave myself wisely. Oh, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Anybody's ever read that before? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He, as we break down that verse number 2, he said, I will behave myself wisely. God's law prescribes a perfect way of life. It's this perfect way that we must profess to walk in. It is our choice whether we want to walk in that way or not. It's our choice whether we want to do good or whether we want to do bad. I believe it was Paul said, when I want to do good, I do bad. And when I want to do bad, I do good. It's this flesh that we struggle and we fight against. But we've got to make up our mind that I'm going to behave wisely. It's that perspective that God has given us that we must accept into our life. It is the perfect way that we must profess that we are going to walk in, and I must act wisely in order to walk in it. And he mentions in that passage of scripture, when will you come to me? And I was puzzled by that for a little while. I had to read it over and over again and check out some commentary. And what I found is when he said, when will you come to me? I can either walk in the way that I want to go, the flesh, or I can walk in God's ways. And unless you come unto me by your mercy and by your grace, and without you, I can't do nothing. Can simply do nothing. So God, I need you to come to me. I need you to come to me. He said, I will walk within my house. I will walk within my house. He's saying, I will maintain a Christian character no matter where I am. I will possess the fruits of the Spirit, which is meekness and gentleness and long-suffering. David said, I will do that in my house. And so in reference to that, I will do it in my house according toward my children, toward my spouse. I will do it unto the Lord. I will act that way to my servants. Probably none of us tonight have to worry about that aspect of it. Anybody got any servants in your house? I'm not talking about your kids or wife either. I will maintain. Do we know in our world today, do we know what a Christian character is? It's to be Christ-like. It's to be Christ-like. Lord, give me and help me to have a perfect heart. And to have a perfect heart, that means that we love God's Word. We love the doctrine, and we apply it to our hearts and to our lives. God is the God of our salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, and we must allow it to become applicable to every aspect of our life, both at home and where we're on our job, when we're out shopping, whether we're driving down the road. It's vitally important. I think I had mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it one more time. I have found out when I am treated the worst in business, it's when those people need my kindness the worst. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. I have found out that they need my kindness when they treat me the worst. Now, you have to understand that pastors are human too. Hello? And I'm going to confess to you tonight, live on video, that I had went to Sam's Club the other day to get supplies for the church. Honey, you don't have to crawl under the pew. Okay. And I was looking for a place to check out. I had toilet paper and paper towels and all that stuff, you know. And I was looking for a place to check out. It wasn't that busy. There was two checkers checking, and there was a guy over here that wanted to be a checker. And he just stood and stared at me, and I looked at him and I said, "Are you checking?" "Yeah, I'm checking." So I pulled my buggy over there, and about the time I started to unload, and I had several things for the church and a couple things for Sister Diane and I. She has to have her tomatoes from there, those Camperies. She's got to have them, just got to have them. She's addicted to them. Y'all pray for her addiction, okay? So I had a few things. Anyway, I told the young man, I said, "I've got to separate these things." Well, about that time, one of his girl workers, understand how I said that, come up and started talking to him. And here I am trying to unload the cart and separate things. And they just watched me. Now, I have to be honest with you. I can only take that so long. And after I got it 99% unloaded, I looked at him and I said, "Thank you for your help." And he looked at me like, "Well, you're an idiot." So I do understand, as a pastor, I am human. And if I had to qualify that, I won't. I just won't. But David was, he was developing an attitude that whether he was on the throne or whether he was at home, regardless of where he was developing an attitude that I'm going to live a Christian life, right? And understand why I'm saying the Christian life concerning David. He was going to live a godly life. Christ had not come as yet, of course, but there was a lot of references in his writings, but he was living a godly life. He's going to do what's right. And church, in our world today and all that we've went through the last several months, 16, 18 months, there's times it's hard to maintain a character that is godly. Hello? Will somebody be honest with me? Does anybody have a problem besides me and Brother Aaron? And Brother Ronnie? Yeah? Thank you for your hands. God bless you. Checks in the mail. It's difficult, but I believe that God just threw this scripture in my lap the other day, and before I give it to you, he gave it to me. I don't know how many times I've read it between now and when the last time that I read it, of how I need to be, and by the way, it come up, I was reading it after I had the encounter with the helpful clerk. Isn't it amazing how God speaks to us first? Couldn't preach this till I got it out of the way and got things right. But I have to behave myself wisely. That's the key word. Behaving myself wisely. When I want to kick and scream, I've got to realize that God's mercy and grace is with me. And I've got to behave myself wisely. Somebody's watching. Somebody needs it. Let me repeat myself again. When they deserve it the least is probably when I need to give it to them the most. That's tough sometimes, but it's the fact. Lord, I love your word. David said, I love your word. And because I love your word, I'm going to allow these things in my life, not only in my on my throne, but also in my house. I'm going to set myself to walk after you and to walk in your footsteps. I will make it a determining point in my life to walk. I will bear and forbear with the children and the servants and my spouse. I will not speak harshly or rashly, nor give away to a bad temper. Does that really say that in there? He said, I will walk wisely. So if we walk wisely, we've got to learn to handle our own fleshly situations. Am I correct? Hello? He said, So we got that all resolved. From now on, everybody is going to act wisely in every situation, right? I just want to get that clear, that I've covered it enough. If not, I'll need to go back over it. Okay? We're gonna conduct ourselves wisely, whether we're at home. At least you'll think about it, right? At home, whether at work, whether at Walmart, whether shopping, wherever you're at, regardless of how people treat you, we don't treat them like we're treated. We treat them like Christians. Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And I can really break verse number 3 down. He said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Some of you are already thinking about TV, but I can tell you there's a lot more things in TV, including TV, that the wickedness of this world has completely taken over, and it has obscured our vision of having any kind of Christian walk. David didn't have the problems that we've got today in that circumstance and in that particular situation. We've got TV. Most kids don't even watch TV no more. They got so much junk on their cell phones and on their iPads that they can have their minds permeated with all this garbage and filth. And I believe with all my heart, moms and dads, it's our responsibility that we make sure not only are we not allowing those things to be set before us and before our eyes, it's our responsibility that we make sure our kids are not having those things before their eyes. If you allow your child to go to bed with their iPad or their phone, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, and they are not monitored, you are acting foolishly. They don't have to look for it. Pornography, junk, and everything else is lurking to captivate their minds in every aspect of the situation. It is so permeated in our society and in our world today. Listen, I'm not afraid to talk about these things, okay? I literally am not. If they come and get me for speaking the truth, then somebody fix me a pot of ham and beans and bring them to me, okay? That's all I ask for. But I'm serious. We are living in such critical times that if somebody don't stand up and speak the truth, we are living in a detriment. That they have taken the whole month of June and set it aside as Pride Month and use God's covenant to promote their stuff. I wish I was able to get on national TV and say, look, that rainbow flag is not your sign. It is God's sign, will always be God's sign. It ain't your sign. And it's just like the enemy tries to take anything that God does and bring it to their side. I thought about that several times this week. If I'm stepping on your toes, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I'm just telling you the truth. The Bible says that those things are an abomination unto God. Paul in Romans chapter 1 lines it out better than any other scripture that you can find in the Bible. But I just want to clarify today that that rainbow flag is not their sign.
Amen.
It is an abomination unto God, because they've taken what is God's and they've perverted it to the extreme.
Amen.
It's God's sign.
Amen.
Can I tell you what I was thinking about this week concerning this? They have taken God's sign and perverted it, but soon and very soon they will be judged by that sign. Because it was a sign of God's mercy and grace. But that mercy and grace, a line is going to be drawn in the sand, and judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. I'm not on a bandwagon just because of June and the month that it is. I'm wanting to learn myself to live right and holy. I want to learn what David's trying to tell us here, that when I go into my house, I'm going to walk right. When I go out into the public, I'm going to walk right. When I go out and drive down the street, I'm going to drive right.
Yes.
I want to be what God wants me to be. And as I was reading this, I wanted to convey this to you, that church, what kind of church would we be if we would all come together and we'd renew our hearts, we'd renew our minds and say, God, regardless, we want to be like you want us to be. I've got to get the flesh put in its place. Paul said, I had to crucify the flesh daily. I've got to get the flesh. That's exactly what David's talking about here, is getting his flesh to where it is put aside, it is killed, it is destroyed. And we walk in the Spirit, we walk according to God's Word. When David said about the things of God, he loved God's Word. In Psalms chapter 1, he said that he meditated on God's Word day and night, like a river planted by a tree planted by the rivers of water. It was inside of him, and though he strayed, he come back to the place in the chapter where we are tonight as he established his throne. I've got to walk according to the dictates of God's Word. I've got to do that. We cannot allow to entertain those things that are of the world. David said, I hate the work of them that turn aside. He wasn't saying that he hated them, but he hated the work of a backslider or those that detested the things of God. And he said in that last part, and it shall not cleave to me. I'm telling you, church, in this world that we're living in, we got to shake it off. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to shake it off. I had a big old collie dog when I was growing up, and he loved to go in the pond and chase frogs. But as soon as he got out of that pond, you know what he did? He shook off that scummy green moss that was on him from chasing frogs. But somebody missed it. You got to shake it off. We got to shake off. I mean, this stuff of this world is worse than the green pond scum. We got to shake it off. He said, I shall not cleave. It shall not cleave to me. We got to shake it off. We got to get rid of it. We cannot allow it to entertain our hearts. We can't allow it to entertain our minds. I'm not going to set any wicked thing before me. Before I do, I'll turn it off and shut it off.
Yeah.
He said, I'll detest those whose conduct is contrary to the things of God. Those who deny the divine authority. Those who live without having their conduct governed by the things of God. In Psalms chapter, or in verse chapter 4, verse 4 of chapter 101. A forward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. You know what David was saying? I know why I haven't preached much on Sunday nights, because you guys are tough. I mean, you're just tough on Sunday night. You're tough on a preacher. I'll be careful of the company I keep. I'll be careful of the company I keep. I will not know of a wicked person. That does not mean we cannot be a witness. But if you spend more time with a sinner, it's easier to become a sinner than the sinner to become the saint. I never forget a story that I read of a Bible scholar that was teaching his class, and he had his pupil, the Carl, up on the table, and he told the pupil to pull him up on top of the table. And he pulled and grunted and pulled and grunted, and in a matter of a second, that teacher pulled that student off of the table onto the floor, and he got up, dusted himself off in humiliation, and said, "Teacher, what in the world did you do that for?" He said, "To prove to you it's a lot easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up." We cannot allow ourselves to keep consistent company with a crowd that doesn't know Jesus. I will give no countenance or give no time to the sinner. Whatever is evil shall be an object of my disgust. Verse 5. This is the epitome of being able to hear a pin drop. Am I doing all right? Or am okay? Verse number 5. This is God's word. It's not what Pastor Mike said. It's God's word. And if we don't hear God's word and allow God's word to become applicable to our life and live in our life, then as pastor, I've been an injustice to you. So David said in verse 5, whoever privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. David was simply saying, I will not tolerate gossip to be a part of my fellowship. We don't have to have party lines anymore. We got Facebook and I don't know what all kinds of books. I don't. I can't stand to be on there. Nobody can stand for me to be on there. David said, I will not tolerate gossip. We need to be vitally careful of what we say, how we say it. We cannot afford to backbite one another. We don't need to be talking about anybody, but we sure don't need to be talking about God's people. Come on, church, that was a good, good place for you to say a hearty amen. He said, I'm going to cut that off. I'm going to stop it. If we hear, you can rest assured, if you allow somebody to talk about your friend to you, as soon as they see their friend, they're going to be talking about you. So say, look, I don't care to listen to that. It's probably a lie anyway, and whether it is or whether it ain't, I don't need that in my life. Hello. Did you know that when someone gossips, when someone slanders someone, they're actually slaying or killing three different people? Are you with me? The man who slanders is slandering or killing the victim, the one they're talking about. He who communicates to the individual about the one they're talking about, the bystander, they're killing that bystander. They're bringing in them to their party. And the gossiper himself is also killing himself. So it is a triple homicide. Are you with me? He who slanders ruins both himself and him who hears him. And he adds to the one that he's talking about. This is often the case. And the innocent are ruined by the distraction. David said, I will not tolerate gossip. I got a feeling that this message that I'm preaching this Sunday night will go down in the archives of the quietest congregation that's ever endured. He said, I high look and a proud heart, those who desire self-promotion. I've seen it over and over and over again. When one tries to self-promote himself, it usually never works. But when they put their hands in the hands of God, God does the promoting. That's scriptural as well. Verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. He says, mine eyes will be the eyes of approval upon those that are faithful in the land. It is you and I that we need to have each other's back. It's God's people, I said, that we need to have each other's back. We don't need to be talking about them or shooting arrows at them, but we need each other's back. My eyes will be upon them that are faithful in the land, and they may dwell with me. They that walk with me in a perfect way, he shall serve me. David again said in Psalms 51:17, a broken and a contrite spirit and heart, God will not despise. The humble that follow God, God will can do great things with. Those that walk in a perfect way, those that walk with integrity. Soft, meek, sweet spirit. That's the one David said, I'm going to run with. Those are the one that I'm going to run with. Hello? Those that serve me. I want them to be my friend, and I want to be their friends. Verse number 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he that telleth lies. I will not tolerate, David said, liars or deceivers or troublemakers. Isn't it amazing how sometimes a 15-minute message can seem like 2 hours? David said, I will not tolerate liars and deceivers, troublemakers. I will not tolerate them. They will not be a part of my life. I'm here to tell you that we can correct those very kindly and with the right spirit of those that step out from under God's ways. Verse 8, I'm going to finish up. I can tell. I've been around long enough, I can tell you all have taken about all you could take. So I'm going to finish this up, leave it with you, and let you take it home. David said in verse 8, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could do that tonight? Some of you are thinking right now who you'd start with from Washington, D.C. Where holiness alone should dwell. Where holiness alone should dwell. We need to be thinking about that very clearly. We need to be like a city that's set up on a hill that the whole wide world can see. Hey, them folks down there at Trinity's got something. Not because we think we got something, but because God says we've got something. With that spirit of humility, that spirit of love and integrity, as we reach out to our community. I'm here to tell you, church, we got something going on. We need to keep it going. But our attitude and our spirit's got to conjoin with the things of God if we want it to happen. And I understand where we're at right now, and it's hard to maintain any kind of normalcy in our life. But I want you to know that God is in control, and He will turn things around. Holiness must dwell in our city. Holiness must dwell in our country. Holiness must dwell in our church and in our lives, so that God can make us prosperous and a happy people. William Penn once said, if men will not be governed by God, they will be ruled by tyrants. Where in the world are we today? He said that a long, long time ago. If men will not be governed by God, they will be ruled by tyrants. I ask you, sometime this week, read your devotions, and when you get through, run over there to Psalms 101 and read it again for the first time. And say, God, help me to apply that to my life. Help Pastor apply it to his life. He's struggling with people that don't do right when they're in the grocery store. when we do that, ask God, help me to be like nobody else. Help me to be like you. Just help me to be like you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, your spirit, your power. Thank you, God, for your word. Lord, I understand and I realize, oh God, that totally insufficient in applying this word and making it applicable to our hearts and our lives, because I struggle myself. But God, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Help me to be more like you. Help me, oh Lord, to be like David and have a determination in my heart and my life that I'm going to rule my house well, that I'm going to rule the house of God well with integrity and with love and humility. God, I understand the awesome responsibility that you have given me. Lord, I am humbled by that. And God, I look to you because I know I've got to have you. I've got to have you. I need you, Lord. Father God, I pray that you'll touch your people, minister to them and strengthen them. And in our world of chaos and our world of seemingly everybody's in their own little world, Lord, we need you to keep us on the straight and narrow. Thank you, oh God, for all that you've done and what you're going to do. Help us, oh God, to keep our eyes upon the eastern sky, our ear tuned toward the trumpets, and our focus upon lost souls. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.